coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. Folks, look, a lot of things happening, a lot of things about to take place. I want to say this right now. While I'm thinking about it, folks, you know we're affiliates for the wellness company, twc.health/Hagman. I'm going to tell you something. The things I've been hearing, the unsettling things, I want everyone to be prepared, just be prepared as possible. So go to twc.health/Hagman, the wellness company. Get your contagion kit, get your medical kit, whatever you need, but go there and do that because I think things are going to get really rocky really soon. I'm a bit frazzled today. I'm going to tell you flat out, I'm a bit frazzled. And I say this because, you've got a lot of things taking place. Biden's going to be addressing the nation at 8 p.m. Eastern time today. Look, which Biden is it? Do we even have real proof of life? I've got some video assets, videos that I'm going to play for you, some discussions, the one discussion involving Sarah Gonzalez on the Blaze, talking with the Drinking Brothers podcast. It seems so out of place, I know, but Dan Holloway and Ross Patterson. I've got to tell you, Dan Holloway has some pretty interesting connections. You might not know that. I found this out recently, and you got to pay attention to what they say. Also, on the Secret Service scandal, folks, we have to, I believe we have to think a little bit bigger as we assemble all of this timeline, this information, all of this stuff that regarding the assassination attempt on July 13th. I think we have to cast a wider information net going back to Russiagate. Yes, Russiagate. Okay, going back to the attempts to take Donald Trump out in 2015 and 2016 by lawfare, by this hoax, Russiagate, by the media. You've got multiple things going on. You've got the attempt to take out Donald Trump. You've got the election theft, giving it to Biden. Then you've got Biden, who's got a lot of skeletons and a lot of closets. Think about that. And then, of course, you've got really 3.5 years of the media carrying the water for Joseph Biden. And also Harris, they've been covering up, along with every member of the cabinet and the media, covering up Biden's health and cognitive decline, leading us to today. Or now, current, and of course, what we had seen never before ever, you had a president break up or decide not to run, but break up with the country by way of a social media post, which is absolutely unprecedented and unacceptable. The attempted takedown of President Trump going back to 2015, but in particular, when we saw the testimony of Kimberly Cheadle, the former director of the Secret Service, you've got to go back to January 6th, that whole melee there, and understand that she was involved in part, not necessarily at the top at that time, but involved in erasure or making sure, destroying the communications that the January 6th committee should have had and should have produced. You've got her definitely involved in the cocaine gate at the White House scandal. So you've got, as well as Mayorkas, who is her boss, you have got so many, I don't want to say anomalies, I want to say events leading up to today. This is not the beginning of the end. This is, I believe, the close to the end of the beginning of what is going to be taking place between now and November and subsequent to November. By the way, they are not done with attempting to wipe Trump off the map. And I have to say this, if the deep state, if the administrative state, the bureaucratic state, whatever you want to call them, if they don't like President Trump and they want to get rid of him, then that's who I want running the country. It, plain and simple. Think about him, what you want. That's who I want running the country. We are experiencing right now a coup. And I've said this before, actually multiple coups within our government right now. I don't believe for 1 minute Biden wrote that resignation letter. I don't believe for 1 minute that Biden signed that letter. I don't believe that Biden did any of this willingly. Most assuredly not Jill Biden or Hunter Biden, because the entire Biden crime family will be exposed. Their crimes will be exposed, and whether or not, and this is why you cannot have compromised candidates in office. Biden is the king of compromise. I'm telling you right now, the Biden crime family, every single last one of them is involved at some level in criminal activity. And I'm not talking about, having a gun or doing a porno shoot with an underage girl, although those are bad, or smoking crack, that's bad. I'm talking about nation state level treason bad. Oh, and let's not forget the pipe bomb incident of January 6th. Involving the Secret Service and the FBI. Right now, or today, Christopher Wray is testifying before the Homeland Security Committee. Do you think we're going to get anything out of that? No. Any information? No. So today, Randy Taylor, my good friend Randy Taylor, great investigator, great analyst, is with me. I appreciate what he does. We're going to be talking about and showing some video. By the way, Dan Bongino, who has been on the inside of the Secret Service, folks, if you haven't seen the last 2 days or Monday and Tuesday shows of Dan Bongino, I highly recommend them. He's broken some news. At the same time, he's getting his information from federal sources. We have a source on a county level where the assassination attempt took place. And a lot of the information we're getting firsthand is buttressing what Dan Bongino is saying. Because obviously our source was there that day. Our source has access to the communications that were made that day. Observations that from the inside at the county level, just like Dan Bongino has informational assets from the federal level, we've got them at the county level. So if we play this off or munge them together, we can get a very clear picture as to what happened. And I was talking to Randy Taylor prior to Showtime. Look, I at this point, at this moment in time, again, through an involved investigations, let me tell you, when you're dealing with a homicide, attempted homicide in this case against President Trump, but I can relate to this, like a homicide investigation. When you're dealing with that, the investigation is always constantly evolving until it doesn't anymore, until you've come to a point where, okay, this is the picture we have. We're not quite there yet. In fact, we're far from being there, because there are some anomalies that really, really stick out. For example, and we're going to be getting into this, the house of Thomas Crooks, where he lived, completely scrubbed, including silverware. Including silverware? Oh, that's before the investigators arrived? Yeah, that's not unusual. That's just one of many things we're going to be talking about today. Before I bring Randy Taylor on, I want him to see this. This is, and folks, all of these, again, I attribute, just to be clear, the source material for today's show is, and for every show, if you go to HagmanPI.com, click on the headline for the title of today's show, underneath that, and open the box, all of the links are there. Now, all credit goes to Dan Bongino on this. Oh, we'll play this clip. It's, folks, it's necessarily long, but it's going to set the new line of information, the high water mark of information. This is about the Secret Service scandal, okay? The Secret Service, the questioning. This is from Dan Bongino, but Cut A will set the stage for everything else from that point forward. This is kind of a 1, 2, 3, 4 mock or wrap up of Dan Bongino. I shouldn't say wrap up, but investigative findings based on his intelligence assets that correspond with our local, if you will, non-federal assets. So I'll play Cut A from Video One. Bring RT for Randy Taylor on. By the way, if you want to contact him by email, rt@hagmanpi.com. He's a fantastic asset to our team. Can't speak highly enough about him, but he's coming on right after this clip. So let's play Cut A, Video One. Again, folks, this is a necessary 4-minute video. You've got to really understand all of these points that Dan Bongino is talking about. Here it is.
The team, the sniper team, the Secret Service sniper team you're seeing on that infamous video going online, going around everywhere. The two black guys on top of the the black suits on top of the roof. That is not the team that shot the assassin. That's not them. We have to get the timeline right. It was the other team that shot from about 400 yards away. That's not the team. It's important because a lot of people are online are like, look, they hesitated. They may have hesitated, but that's not the team. That's not the team. That team probably had a better shot. That's not the team that took out the assassin. I can't emphasize this enough. You got media people still with the freaking timeline wrong. Finally, here's a piece of information I promise you haven't heard yet. You got your pens out, media folks? Apparently, one of the first rounds the assassin shot that penetrated the hydraulic line of that piece of farm equipment, that tractor or whatever it was, that front loader. You can see it on the video. You're going to see the hydraulic line explode and the lever on the front goes up. I'm sorry, folks, I'm not a farmer. I'm not going to pretend to be. It's a tractor, front loader, whatever it is. Doesn't matter for the purpose of this story. Apparently, what happened after that is hydraulic fluid from that specific vehicle, given that the line was penetrated, covered a couple of vehicles in the motorcade, causing a little bit of initial chaos. Second, I'm getting this from a source. I'm going to try to double confirm this, but there was some kind of small explosion after that. Now, to be clear, there's some confusion about what it was. Was there some fireworks at the scene? Was there something the assassin had brought with him that the hydraulic fluid or something, one of the shots had set off, did he set it off? But the explosion is what led to the confusion about where they should go and were they still under attack. Combined with the fact that the hydraulic fluid had coated some of the motorcade vehicles, they had a little bit of an issue getting out of there. These are relevant facts. They're going to come out probably in a week. Someone's going to report it as an exclusive breaking news. I'm just telling you, you got it here first. There was some type of small explosion afterwards, and the advance team, the CAT team, and other elements on the ground were not sure if they were still under attack, which makes some of the decisions even more questionable about keeping them up on stage. So again, just quickly, so media folks, you get this all right. There was supposed to be a local team on that roof. For some reason, the Secret Service didn't mandate that they stay up there. They didn't want to stay up there apparently because of the heat. I want to add, the Secret Service is now in a PR fight because they're afraid to throw the locals under the bus. The locals don't want to get in a fight with the publicly with the Secret Service. I'm just giving you information. I'm not placing the blame on one or the other, folks. It was a security failure, and both sides clearly have some skin in the game here. I'm just giving you the facts. I can't tell you enough. The truth doesn't have an agenda here at all. The truth is the truth. The heat. This is not an excuse. We didn't have a post because it was hot. Donald Trump was on stage and it was hot. They waited for the muzzle flash because they were confused about who was on the roof. It was supposed to be a post. The team you're seeing in the video, the sniper team for the Secret Service, did not take out the assassin. It was the other team, not on video. And finally, that hydraulic fluid thing caused a big, big hiccup on the way out of there, because some type of small explosion went off, which may have been confused for additional gunfire.
All right. I've got three additional points to that. Randy Taylor, come on board. What'd you think of that? Good to see you.
Good morning, sunshine.
Anything but. It's a cloudy day.
That's all right. Well, we're going to bring some sunlight into your lives.
There
people.
You go. That's what
I'm telling about. You. I feel it coming. Something's coming. I don't know. Go ahead.
So the what Dan Bongino was talking about, did in your perusal of social media posts, of message boards, have you heard any of that before?
No.
Okay.
No, the... No, in fact, people hadn't even gotten to that point. They're still fighting on whether there was one, two, or three shooters.
Okay.
They're still, and they're trying to analyze what I saw more than anything was people trying to analyze the video footage of the crowd behind Trump in the stands.
Yes.
As the one guy, you know, obviously gets hit. And then it looked like a ricochet off a rail. And people are still, and there's, you know, the water towers in question.
Right, right.
You know, and nobody knows for sure what he referred to as the second team that actually took out the guy. Nobody knows for sure where that team was.
Okay, well,
it's in social media.
Okay, so I can kind of fill in some of these blanks based on the source that we
have. That will make a good show in itself, sir, because there's a lot of people running around with their heads up their butts.
I'm telling you, it's, folks, yeah, it's not what you think it is, okay? And I'm a hard sell. I believe this is a conspiracy, but I also believe that because we have the ability to speak with someone who is unwilling at the moment to be identified, but will be identified, is willing to be identified at that moment, at the right time. I mean, first of all, number one, according to our county source, who is in law enforcement, who was present on that day, and I'm not going to go any further with respect to identification, the United States Secret Service never assigned a local team to that roof. Okay,
let's be clear which roof people are listening.
Okay, the shooter's roof.
The shooter's roof.
Okay.
Okay, we're not talking about where the two shooters were up top.
No,
law enforcement side.
No, not the No. Okay.
So now.
This person, obviously, folks, I cannot identify. I'm not going to identify this person.
No need to.
Yeah, okay.
No way.
So, and I will say this. This individual is growing, I don't want to say frightened, more concerned, I should say, with every passing day. Because this person is saying, look, there is, you know, after watching what the hearings, they're not hitting, I mean, good, they accomplished the goal of getting Cheadle out of there, but it's more systemic than that. And there was something else going on during that day that just screamed of conspiracy.
And Cheadle being dismissed, that's the lightest thing that can happen, okay? There's people who need to be in jail. There's people who need to be in prison. There's people who should probably be executed.
I'm telling you, if found guilty, correct. And I think, so that's number one.
I forgot that part.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Or not, right?
It's Taylor's quick justice.
I'm okay with that. Okay.
All right.
I grew up, no, I shouldn't say grew up. In my younger years, you know, Bronson, Death Wish. And
you got it, baby.
Yeah. Okay. So the other point that I received, and this is important because there was two things that are making the rounds, okay? The shooter did not bring that ladder to the fairgrounds. Bongino said that, I think it was on Monday, through his source, and I was able to confirm. Well, that was stated to me in a most recent conversation. That ladder was law enforcement. That was law enforcement's ladder. The shooter apparently accessed the roof. And I say apparently because our source did not witness this, but by way of an air conditioning unit. Okay, so anyway, the point number two, however, is that rifle was pre-positioned prior to the shooter. In other words, that rifle was placed somewhere in between the air conditioning unit and the building before Crooks, the alleged shooter, got to that final approach onto the roof, right?
Right, so he wouldn't be carrying it in front of anybody.
Correct. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, most disconcertingly, the firecracker sounds or sounds that caused the breach of the hydraulic line on the piece of equipment that did result in the drenching of the, specifically of the window, the front windshield and the windows of the driver's side, that is, windows of the vehicle, escape, the Secret Service vehicles take President Trump out. That was an explosion based on the information I received from my source. In other words, the inner perimeter was breached. An explosive of some type, I don't have that information, was put on a hydraulic line or with the hydraulics. And whether or not the intent was to spray the hydraulics or to have the arm of the piece of equipment come down and block and or destroy or render inoperable the vehicles, that was intent.
I would say B is more likely what you just said.
Okay. All right. So so that's where we're at. And believe me, okay, the source that we have will not even use a personal cell phone. I mean, this is how bad this has gotten. So I'm just telling
you. With everything that's going on and the height in government of people that are involved, I'd be terrified too.
Yeah. And yes. So I'm not going to even. Yeah. Okay. So that was Dan Bongino from yesterday, July 23rd. Now, here's about a minute 20 about the communications, which, again, this is all part of a bigger picture, a wider net. Folks, cast a wider net. Okay, well beyond. Look, I know the acoustics or the I know the sound, that's important. I know that I know a lot of things are important that are discussed on social media, but look consider this a larger part of a larger takedown operation. We'll play cut B of video one. That's about a minute a minute, 5 seconds. This is about the communications. Again, the source on this is Dan Bongino, his show from yesterday. Here it is.
Congresswoman Lauren Boebert asked a very, very pointed, fantastic question. I congratulate her for doing her homework. Congresswoman Boebert asked former Director Kim Cheadle yesterday, hey, have you been using Signal to communicate with people from the White House or elsewhere? In other words, have you been using your non-official government email address and phone, which would be against administrative guidelines to conduct government business? Have you been using a private device and a Signal encrypted communication mechanism to avoid disclosure and detection? I want you to listen very clearly to Kim Cheadle's answer and notice the delay in her response, because I'm not so sure this is accurate. Check this out.
Now, since the assassination attempt, you are under oath, reminding you, have you communicated with anyone at the White House on an encrypted messaging app like Signal? Yes or no?
No, I have not.
Are you willing to surrender your personal phone for analysis?
If I am required to do so.
Require her to do so.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it right now. You guys all recording this? Justin's like, we better, or else we're not going to have a video on demand. She will never surrender that personal phone.
And I totally, RT, I agree with you. I agree with Dan Bongino on this. And by the way, I've testified enough. If the opposing counsel, the attorneys, or in this case, the House member says, now, I want to remind you, you are under oath. Believe me, the next words out of that person's mouth, they already know the answer to that. I every single time I've ever been on the stand and somebody, the opposing counsel says, now I want to remind you, you were under oath. Okay. Believe me. I know. They know.
It's documented.
Yeah. 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 So, and I know that wasn't a court of law, but just based on my experience, believe me, you got to be real, real careful what you say.
It's a setup. So as you're walking into it.
Yeah. Yes. So one more thing, and then we can expand this conversation, RT. This is about a 2 minute, 15 second, roughly, video, again, from the same program yesterday, expanding on the communications, personal encrypted apps. Okay. Now, the question was, did you use Signal on your, you know, did you use Signal? And you heard the answer. Now, a different congressman picks the questioning line of questioning up, expands a line of questioning, and it's very interesting as to what comes out of Cheadle's mouth. But even though she's gone, she's not forgotten. Also, remember, connect this to January 6th, the January 6th committee, Cocaine Gate, and especially the assassination attempt of Donald Trump, where sadly, you know, we lost, one life was lost and two people were injured horribly. So understand this is a big deal, and this reaches, in my view, high levels of government. This is cut C from video one, and then RT will discuss this on the other side of this. Go ahead.
Which is kind of strange, because Kim Cheadle seemed, she had to wait a second to respond. I think she was surprised by the question. Maybe she should have been following me on X. Kim Cheadle had to wait to respond, and she said, no, I haven't been using this device. Maybe it wasn't Signal. Maybe it was another encrypted app, and maybe that's where she's kind of parsing the question. Why do I bring this up? Because here she's asked again by Congressman Eric Burleson, a really great guy. She's asked the exact same question again about encrypted apps instead of just Signal. Notice the difference. And she gives a totally different answer. Both of these answers may be true. Maybe it wasn't Signal. Maybe it was another encrypted app. You see how she's delicately dancing around this? And I want you to listen to her ridiculous excuse. Oh, other people we deal with overseas have devices that are not compatible. What? Like freaking email? She has a government email. What, the government email doesn't email other people on what? Apple devices? What the hell are you talking about? It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Check this out.
Have you used any encrypted app to communicate on, from your personal device?
I do on occasion use encrypted apps to communicate.
So you use some form of an encrypted app to communicate with people within the federal government, with local law enforcement? Whom are you communicating using encrypted apps?
Many times it's with colleagues and associates.
So you're communicating with colleagues on a personal device?
There are times that the Secret Service, when we work internationally with some of our partners, that they don't have the same texting capability.
Big piece too. Yeah.
And you're not able to do that with your government-issued device?
Recently, we have been able to install some of those apps on government devices.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the things that we can get access to. I'm actually shocked that you are using your personal device and encrypted communication tools. I think that might be the most shocking thing that I've heard today. I didn't expect that you to say that.
Me either, Congressman. Should take her up on her offer to surrender her personal device for forensic analysis. She offered. It's on tape.
You should have got it before they left the room.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you.
Because it ain't available now. A nice empty phone.
There's only one reason that anyone would do that in that position, and that is to avoid disclosure of the contents.
Same reason Hillary wiped out the emails.
There you go.
They know what to do.
You know, and isn't it interesting when you look at the events of today, the current events, with Biden's not running for re-election. And who knows? He might go off script tonight and say, I'm going to leave or whatever. I don't know what he's going to say. I don't even know if it's going to be Biden. I don't know. Biden 1, Biden 2, Biden, but whatever. But the bottom line here is you've got already at least in my view, and RT opine on this, evidence of a high-level conspiracy at the highest levels of within the DHS. Don't forget, Mayorkas is over.
That's the problem, is that man right there, that Mayorkas. Don't trust that man. I'll tell you what, that is a dangerous individual, Mayorkas. And don't underestimate him. He's smart. He's very smart. But he's been bought and sold by the globalist. That's a dangerous individual. And please, people, I know everybody looks at him and he's incompetent because he lets the people in at the border and this and that. And he's just following the beckoning of his masters. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing I learned, and one of the reasons I'm still alive today, one, I don't underestimate my enemy. And two, I respect my enemy. And I'll tell you right now, that's kept me alive. I may have every intention of taking out my enemy, neutralizing my enemy, but I'm going to respect them because they didn't get where they're at by accident. If you underestimate someone, that's a good way to get a bullet right in the forehead. So please, Mayorkas is dangerous. Even the people that hired him, I believe, are afraid of him. That is my two cents on Mayorkas. Why do you think he walks around unscathed? It's not just because there's conspiracies within the government. People are afraid of this guy. And he don't give a damn. I'm just telling you. Mark my words, when he comes down, a lot of problems are going to go away in the United States government, but it's going to be hell taking them down.
Exactly. And I cannot believe we're at this point.
And I know that was off script there. No, sorry, that's something I've been meaning to say.
That's dead nuts on point here.
Whenever you start digging around and all the crap that's going on in this Biden presidency, his fingerprints are always in there somewhere. Just briefly, even. But I'm telling you, man, the guy, because everybody's answerable to him. All the agencies were like swept up, you know, boom, there's DHS. I remember when they formed DHS. Hey, I knew it was a problem.
Ridge. Well, you and yeah. I sat.
Yep. Yeah. But we knew then, Doug, it was a problem.
Yeah.
We knew back then two things we didn't like. We didn't like Department of Homeland Security. And the other thing we didn't like was the Patriot Act.
Correct.
I mean, we were out there to bust jihadists. Don't get me wrong, left, right, and center. But as an American, I never liked the Patriot Act. And anybody that ever asked me about it, I told them. And it was people in the government that we were giving information to about Al-Qaeda. So, I mean, that all this stuff, a lot of stuff you're seeing today was put into hyperdrive while George Bush Sr. was still alive and had his son in the White House, along with that turd Dick Cheney.
There you go.
Okay, that guy, him and that piece of crap daughter of his. Okay, that little traitor.
Liz Cheney's role on the January 6th committee.
That's exactly where what I think of more than anything.
Yeah.
That little piece of garbage. You know, this whole January 6th thing is going to get revisited. Mark my word. And explain to me, I sent you guys a video. Over the weekend, pro-Hamas, they called them protesters, stormed the Capitol. Stormed the Capitol building. I gave you a video of it. Pro-Hamas stormed the Capitol. And so you know what? Right there. You see them? Those are insurgents. As far as okay, I'm concerned.
Do me a favor, if you don't mind. Narrate this or talk about this solo for about 1 minute. I have to grab a paper in my
office. Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, take a look here. These are pro-Hamas, okay? They called them demonstrators. I'm sorry. Anybody that bursts in the Capitol, uninvited and in large quantities, according to what? Just thrown in our faces, were called insurgents. At least these people were armed with sticks, you know, flagpoles, things like that. But if January 6th, if they were insurgents on January 6th, these people are just as bad. And I want to know why nobody is doing a thing about it. Nobody cares. Nobody seems to have a little bit of ire. So, you know, this is what we're talking about. Why, when we talk about two-tier justice system, this is exactly what we're talking about. Okay. If you're a conservative, one set of rules applies to you. If you're the crazy ass left, pro Hamas, pro Palestinian, pro everything that is anti-US, you're accepted. In fact, people need to remember what this Kamala Harris, what a piece of garbage this is when they talk about making that bitch president, right? And yeah, that's what I called her. Okay, she's a snot-nosed bitch. All right, but that's the one that was out there, remember, setting up bail funds for people that were being arrested, protesters being arrested. Do you remember that? I hope you people remember that. Okay, her, and then she attracted her Hollywood crowd. That Kamala Harris is an idiot, okay? And she's a piece of crap, and she's un-American. She keeps to talk like she's American. Have you seen how well she raised her kids? You think Hunter Biden's a problem? Look at this banana farm, the one that's her kid, okay? She's still raising money for the people that support Hamas in Palestine. Now, how can you have the daughter of someone that wants to be the U.S. president doing that?
Okay.
And here's what, quickly, if I may.
Go ahead, because I've got, when I saw that.
Oh, go ahead.
When I saw that, I am reminded of something you and I did. I don't know if you remember this, about 15 years ago. About 14 years ago, to be exact.
Nobody got our names, right? We've had some fun.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. So you saw that pro Hamas and you understand.
I thought all that evidence was destroyed, Doug.
Oh man.
It is pro Hamas. Those are pro Hamas demonstrators. And as far as I can tell, unless they got a great looking studio, it looks like the Capitol building.
There you go. But do you remember It was in 2010, you and I. Okay. We were working as assets for the DOJ, for the FBI. And don't throw anything at us, okay? Because we were attempting to ferret out
Al-Qaeda
and such, right? Okay. In 2010, and this is what I grabbed, Kifa Mustafa. I don't know if that name rings a bell to you.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is what we were identifying: Hamas, Hezbollah, and Al-Qaeda operatives here and overseas. In 2010, now think about this, Obama, again, who's neck deep in all of this, through Mueller, the FBI director, created the, remember this, the Citizens Training Center at the FBI in 2010. Okay.
Yes.
The Holy Land Foundation trial that identified Hamas and Al-Qaeda operatives and Muslim Brotherhood organizations fronting for the Muslim Brotherhood, the Obama regime propped up in Egypt, remember that, through the Arab Spring.
Yes.
Let's bring it back to the U.S. for a second. A guy by the name of Kifa Mustafa, a known Hamas operative and unindicted co-conspirator from the Holy Land Foundation. Now, this affects today. This is relevant today. was invited, and this is about the time you were saying, look, this is all effed up. We can't continue. I mean, you were.
We don't know who's who anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you were.
I was afraid of being arrested.
Yeah. Well, Mueller and also, well, anyway, Mueller was behind the FBI's training center at Quantico for the National Counterterrorism Center, the NCTC. They invited this Kifa Mustafa, a known Hamas operative, unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation, to the FBI's training center in Quantico, and they shared the counterterrorism manual, operations manual, the assets, and everything possible with this man.
This is critical data, folks.
Unbelievable. Now, at the time, We knew about this. Patrick Poole reported on this, and others did. I believe Frank Gaffney and a few others. But Robert Mueller said, oh, it's all right. Obama, it's okay. Even
which
the,
is,
the
Bush while this, you know, while this was going on, meanwhile, Muslim attorneys with security clearances, which they didn't have, were suddenly showing up in every office that I dealt with and that Doug was dealing with. They were suddenly in there. DOJ. Okay. I had dealt with DOD contractors working in the DOJ. Okay. I had done work with the FBI. Doug's worked with the FBI. We were all there fighting foreign terrorists. That was our mission. Okay. We pulled out, the reason we stopped was because of Obama and what he was doing. He was appointing these people all throughout the government.
Yep.
And everything that we were trying to gather and keep confidential wasn't confidential the second we turned it into the office. You know, I was
precisely.
Just, and then it got to be scary when someone said, you know, my information was really super good. Okay. I have my stuff. George Bush used to read my stuff. I know that because the United States Secret Service told me that. All right. But it got to the point that I got scared when a guy at the DOJ who suddenly was put in charge of a department, he was a lawyer, a Muslim lawyer, and he said exactly to my DOD contact, if he knows this much information and he has it this accurate, which it is, he must be one of them.
And that is...
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Man, my contract called me and said, please don't call this number ever again. He says, for your safety. Actually, the shake. For your safety. She goes, I beg of you. She goes, you've been a great person. I love you. I can't talk to you anymore. For your safety. And boom, that was it. I removed every trace of her. She removed every trace of me. And that's when I started looking at having a second residence outside of the country. It got really squirrely really fast. You know,
those were the days, my friend.
Oh yeah.
They'd never end. Yeah.
Oh man. Scary. Scary because people don't understand, you know, you hear this stuff and it kind of bounces off you. When you find yourself in the middle of they don't like you and someone might want to hurt you or kill you, it gets really scary real fast when you're talking about it being in the government. Look what they did. They just took a shot at Donald Trump.
And again, here we are again.
Poking the bear.
Yeah, but the same... I don't want to say the same. Many of the same people at certain levels are still involved. Back in 2010, they were at lower levels, and today they're at higher levels. And here we are, the same template that was used in 2010 is being used today. So, okay, one thing, and I'm going to toss this back to you. In today's testimony, Jim, of course, Christopher Wray was testifying before the House Oversight Committee, I believe, or Judiciary Committee. I'm not sure. Let's see here. One of the two committees, regardless. Christopher Wray admitted, or Jim Jordan actually discussed this with Christopher Wray. I do have the video clip. We don't have to play it, but the bottom line is this. There was a drone recovery made in the shooter's vehicle with the controller. The flight of that drone, remember on the day of the assassination, they were saying, well, there was overflight of a drone by the shooter.
Yeah.
Admitted during the testimony in direct examination of Ray, it was learned that the flight of that shooter's drone took place between 10 minutes to 4 and 4 o'clock around the area, approximately 200 yards from the stage, approximately 11 minutes of drone flight with live stream, three explosive, I'm giving you this information, just shouting it out here, three explosive devices in both the vehicle, there were two there, and the shooter's residence, there was one explosive device found there. That there were receivers with devices, and the suspect had the transmitter. Receivers were not turned on. They were in the off position, reportedly. But here's the key. Think back to the Bongino clip. The encrypted platforms used by this crooks, the shooter, relate to social media networks on crooks' phone. Or Signal, encrypted messaging apps, and Telegram. Now think about Cheadle's testimony. How does that fit in there? Any thoughts on that? On any part of that? Did I lose you?
Until we get our hands on those phones, man, I don't know.
Okay.
I know that this is really deep and dark and filthy. It's going to be really hard to dig out the bad guys on this one. The other thing that bothers me, because we're having a hard time digging out the bad guys, and even with everybody looking, someone was contracted, okay? It's my opinion, and it's strictly my opinion. It's up to me to prove it. This isn't along with other people necessarily. I do believe myself that there's a second shooter involved. Okay. That's just my belief. Okay. I'm not going to defend that belief today because I'm going to come up if I'm going to really start pushing that, I'll make sure I have the evidence to back it up. It's just something that's been gnawing at me from the moment that the shots were fired. Just the sequence of events and just some things don't sit right. Okay, and the muddled inferences and who they said who the bad guy was. I saw three different faces that day. And I mean, that was definitely put out there to cause confusion. Okay, I just, you know, I spend probably an hour every day looking at two different faces and looking at that dead kid's face. You know, the one where his front teeth are missing because they put a rifle around his mouth.
Yeah.
I'll sit there while I'm drinking coffee and just stare at him. Because there's something I'm missing or something. It'll dawn on me. It'll hit me. It's things like that with me sometimes take time. That's how I found the Al-Qaeda manual. I had it in my possession for probably over a month before I went back, and it dawned on me that that might be important. It turned out it was probably one of the most important things I did in 8 years working with the government, helping the government, because it helped us turn the tables on Al-Qaeda. We were able to ferret out how they operated in the field. Remember that Encyclopedia of Jihad?
Yes, that was
sat,
you.
Sat, and anybody that tries to claim that before me, no, yours truly. I was number one at bat on that one. In fact, that's the reason there's an NYPD intel unit, was because of that discovery. Giuliani, they when I sent it to them, they flipped out, JTTF did. Within an hour, they were in Giuliani's office, and within an hour, they had $1 million worth of funding to set up the operation. Doug, you and I both know where that operation's at, and run from there. And that's just because of something I found in a zip file. It was amazing. It was put to me that if you were to turn in a gold nugget, that's a gold nugget the size of a basketball. That's exactly what it was put to me.
Exactly.
And the thank you. Oh, and the thank yous that I got. Unbelievable. It really made a difference. It saved lives.
And that's what it's all about. But to think that same apparatus has turned inward,
oh my God,
and become contaminated with operatives.
It's vile, though. It's vile.
It's vulgar. It's vile. Randy Taylor, you should get a gold medal the size of a basketball just for that one thing. And history will be kind, very kind to you, I believe, when everything comes out as to what you did. And I'm very proud to have been with you. Of course, that was all you on that.
No. I'm sure I discussed it with you before I sent it forward.
I knew about it, but you know, I didn't realize at the time.
We had no idea what we're sitting on. That was the thing. I kept having a dream. Is the only reason I went back in my safe and pulled it out was I kept having a dream, and in the dream, there was me looking at me, and there was something in my hand, and I was trying to see what was in my hand. I had that dream like six nights that month.
Same identical dream.
So I started tearing apart the dream, and then I realized, whatever it is, I already have it. I started going back through zip files and all. Physical, the old zip disks, you remember those?
Oh,
the fat ones?
Yeah.
So I started going through there, and then I saw that the famous one.
I'll tell you what, though. Now, at that time, it was not easy to translate that. But
it was what, 1,100 pages of Arabic and handwritten and hand drawn.
Oh yeah, yeah,
amazing.
It was like
thing.
Calligraphy. Randy Taylor. Let me tell you this. Folks, look, I want you to go to don'twastepower.com, don'twastepower.com.
Yeah.
You know, recent reports show that U.S. electricity bills they've set a 10-year record high this summer. It's so bad that many households admit to keeping their houses at an unsafe temperature. either high or low. And that's, of course, to lower costs. Others say they struggle to choose between food and their electricity bill. All this just because the greedy power companies want to fill their shareholders' pockets with money. Is that the case? It could very well be. How about government policy? Could be. It doesn't matter. You can take matters into your own hands to lower your own costs the way I do. That's why I lower my energy bills with the help of a magical little device. Absolutely love the cost savings it gives me. Thanks to this device, I can help cut down my electricity costs, beat the power companies, and keep more money in my pocket every single month. It's designed to help lower costs by stopping my home and appliances from wasting unnecessary energy, reduce my electricity usage, supports a very consistent and safe flow of electricity throughout my house, as well as the office and studio. I've got them down in my office and in the studio, and all you have to do is plug it into your home wall outlet like I do, and the cost savings from the first month alone, with me, it proved to me that this was one of the best purchases I've ever made. I'm telling you, anytime I can save money, I love it. Folks, please visit don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com, or just click on the link in the description below to get the nation's leading way to lower energy bills. Up to 66% off. That's right, 66% off. And free express shipping, plus several other bonuses with every order completely for free. That's don'twastepower.com, don'twastepower.com. All right, continuing on with the with the merging of events from the, from the assassination attempt. First of all, setting up Joe Biden. I mean, we can go back, obviously, into the Arab Spring, the role of Hillary, the role of Bill Clinton, the role of Obama, and we need to do that. But really, from the debate on the 27th of June, when his own staff threw him under the bus there, they knew what was going to happen, to the current day, pretty much a lot has been exposed and is being exposed. I say that because, again, according to information that we got, the shooter's house was scrubbed prior to any investigation. And this is extremely important to note. On your screen, folks, take a look. Eli Crane, and you can go to the Conservative Treehouse, and you can click on the video. I'm not going to play the video for the sake of time. But at yesterday's House Homeland Security Committee hearing, Representative Eli Crane from Arizona questioned Chris Paris. Now, he's the commissioner of the PSP, about a video he took of the Butler Township location of the assassination attempt against former President Trump. Now, that's in there too. But the real issue, toward the end of his questioning, Crane said that he had received information that Thomas Cook's house was scrubbed, was cleaned, and even silverware removed prior to the investigative units arriving. Writes Sundance, seems odd. You think? But what does that tell you? Go ahead, sir.
I think that they took it. One, they don't want to sit down and wipe down every piece of silverware. Whoever was involved in this obviously was in the house. They probably touched silverware, maybe just over a cup of coffee, lost track of the spoon. They wanted to make sure that another, in my opinion, they want to make sure that another set of prints is not found in that house, except for the mom, the dad, and the bad guy.
I'm telling you right now, although Thomas Crooks, 20 years old, a busy boy with encrypted devices, bombs, drones, and a rifle doing all this, the second shooter, perhaps, definitely had help and professional help indeed. Go ahead.
I would definitely say that. There's any number of reasons why that silverware was taken, though. I mean,
believe me, it's not the value of silver.
Yeah, I know. It could have been something bizarre that somebody wanted because they thought that Trump was going to die that day. That, okay, the silverware, and they'd have that as a trophy. Yeah, I don't know. People are weird.
Well, yeah,
when it comes to the criminal mind.
This was a Harvey Keitel kind of cleaning, I believe.
Yeah. I also think that that one just ran. We'll keep rolling. It'll come back to me. Oh, this also, remember I had said last time I was on the show that it was just strange that maybe they had put a message into Biden saying you need to drop out or something bad's going to happen with Hunter Biden's sentences. Yeah, we're going to throw the book at him. Yeah, you do what you're told or else. This could have been one of those moments, too, because it's really weird how Trump takes a bullet in the ear and then Biden disappears and drops out. So that tells me that possibly the same people that were behind Trump being shot at told Biden, it could be you next, pal. So either drop out or you're going to find out.
Again, the bigger picture.
We're playing with globalists. We don't know.
No, you're exactly right. And I love this because the segue, without you really knowing.
Okay.
I mean, this segues nicely. Look, information comes from different places. Sarah Gonzalez, Unfiltered, had Dan Holloway and Ross Peterson on yesterday. Okay, they host a podcast. It's humorous, okay, but I know Holloway's got some sources and contacts. Here is about a minute. This is cut D from video 2 of them talking last night. We've got three cuts, three different standalone videos. This is cut D from video 2. Again, Hagman PI show notes. Go ahead and run cut D and see how close you are, RT, to the segueing into this. Go ahead.
So going back to this, Joe Biden, like, I guess he's alive. Someone is alive that is Joe Biden. I mean, all right. It's like we assume that it's him. Okay. But there's also, like, we had the dropout letter that we never saw any video proof that he was the one that signed it. Okay.
Yeah, with America by text.
Yes, he broke up with us by text. Plus, in the letter, he did not endorse Kamala, but his ex account shortly afterwards endorsed Kamala. Well, why wasn't it in the letter?
A 20-year-old.
Correct.
Yeah.
Whoever was the intern was like, I know what we're going to do. Stage a coup on Twitter. And so his campaign aides and staff say they never heard from the Bidens at all. Mm-hmm.
Senior staff found out 15 minutes prior before it went out.
Look, and some of the staff were in tears.
The rest of the staff didn't find out until it was on Twitter. That's crazy.
That's insane.
That's like announcing layoffs on social media. Basically.
So what are they not like? What are they not telling us?
Well,
all right. RT, this will make additional sense here. Cut E from the same video. We'll build on that, but also reference. I think cut E does reference more directly what you were saying, Randy Taylor. Cut E, go ahead.
Here's what I think happened for real. I think there are two warring factions in the Democratic Party, the Clintons and the Obamas. And the Clintons got ahead of this, and Obama wanted something else to happen. I don't think he wants Kamala Harris in there because she can't win. The Clintons wanted Kamala Harris in there for some reason.
Yeah, why?
Right? Unclear on that yet, but they jumped out. They got a hold of the media. They got a hold of all the delegates and all the important people in the Democratic Party. Like, hey, we're endorsing Kamala. Get behind her.
Yeah.
And once that ball starts rolling downhill, it's too late for even somebody like Obama to stop it.
The other thing, too, that I think is important is I think this was Jill's final FU to the Obamas.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, he was supposed to be the guy in 2016. They shoved him out of the way. He was VP for 8 years. Yeah. Joe was.
Yeah. Which ironically,
he might have won.
He probably would have won.
He might have won against Trump that year. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
He definitely, I think.
He's a better candidate than Hillary. Yeah. And then they called back up in 2019. Joe, your old friend Obama, I need you. We got to get you in there because you just needed a friendly old man to go against Orange Man Bad. And so they slotted him in. It was probably his lifelong dream. And then they got him in there. Now they've been trying to push him out. And I bet you Jill was so pissed because on the record, she said, you know, that Kamala was a bitch and she hated her after that first primary. Because that's when Kamala called him a racist live on air.
Oh, yeah.
And so she held that grudge. And so all this time, they were like, great, you're going to put her with Joe on the VP ticket and then we'll win. cool, man. And now you want somebody else in there other than Kamala, and you don't want Kamala? Awesome, man. I'll send that tweet 45 minutes later. We're endorsing Kamala Harris for VP, and then you can sit in that dirty diaper for the next 4 years, because she's not getting in, and she's more unlikable than he is.
Which is, I mean, that's tough to do.
It is, yeah. And the other part is, behind the scenes, Kamala's been trying to get the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment for about a week and a half now.
Do you think?
I know this. The fact that that happened, yeah. Yep. And there are two holdouts in the cabinet. One of them is the DHS secretary. The other one I can't say. And then there are two maybes. She doesn't have the confidence of the cabinet to do it. And I don't think they necessarily want the dust up of having to invoke the 25th for the first time in American history.
That's why that shocks me.
In a way that it's Section 4, right?
Right.
Which is against the will of the candidate. I don't think that's, or the president. I don't think that's ever happened. So, it shouldn't be shocking, though. She's making her move.
Yeah.
I think that this is just me spitballing, but I think she established a foothold by getting at least a plurality of the cabinet on board for this. And there was some decision made by the Clinton at that point that it got enough traction for them to go ahead and start their plan. I don't think that's very conspiratorial. That's just how these people operate.
Me neither. And if you look at the timeline from when he disappeared, our guess is that there was a medical emergency. Mm-hmm. That was her chance to do it with the 25th. But that's the most embarrassing thing of all time for a president.
It's never been done
before. Mm-hmm. And if you're threatening that or saying, hey, come out and make a speech live on television, you're kind of backed into a corner, and then you got to leave a letter. I'm just curious to tune in tonight as everybody else's.
Yeah, and you can't unbring it.
So, Randy Tiller, what do you think of that? And folks, what do you think of that? But Randy, go ahead.
I think this is it. I'm going to give you a couple of possibilities here of what's going to happen. And bear in mind, these are just could happen, maybe not. I think that they're going to go to the DNC, the convention. I think it's going to be, y'all getting all fired up and all that. But it's a very good possibility that when they get to the DNC, that Harris gets bumped down. And they either bring in like a Michelle Obama, or that stinking snot Hillary Clinton might try and come in. Because everything's in disarray right now. I don't even think they've actually started printing posters with Harris's name on them. I know they did a bus for her. Okay? That's about all I know. I'm really, really curious of what's going to happen at the DNC. They're already killing their chances more and more and more in the election, because how do you run this presidential candidate who swears up and down his health was fine, this is fine, and everybody in America is saying he's too old, he's too old, he's too old. And guess what we just found out? He's too old. Okay? We don't even know if he's going to be the guy that shows up tonight. We really don't.
Sadly, we don't.
The country right now, that Lauren Boebert, the congressman, a really pretty gal.
Yeah.
She's been asking for proof of life. She's been putting it in every time they get in a room in Congress. I want a proof of life. We need a proof of life. Where's a proof of life? We don't even know if there's someone running the country right now.
And you don't run the United States of America by committee.
By Twitter. Yeah,
or on Twitter, social media, exactly. So you're exactly right. And to your point, here's video 4.
Oh, okay.
Where is... I love it.
And man. I really did.
I love it.
That's cool. We didn't discuss this ahead of time, folks.
No.
This is two minds that just happen to work together.
There you go. Where is Joe Biden? Video cut 4. Oh, hang on a second. Eric the Tech is overworked, underpaid, understaffed, undermanned.
And he still does it, man.
Every day.
He is a true American patriot, ladies and gentlemen.
Here it is.
Welcome in Steve Gruber. Steve, of course, the host of America's Voice Live here on RAV. Steve, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Steve, J.D. Vance.
Your analysis should be everything Terrence said.
Exactly. Whatever Terrence says.
We can get him off the screen. Yeah, just whatever Terrence said. We're good to go. We can end the show. Just kidding. We have bills to pay here. Steve, J.D. Vance as a running mate. I have to ask you, because we were going back and forth, do you think he's the right fit?
Look, I think he's a good fit. I think he's a remarkable story, by the way. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But I have a question first, because I heard David say it's a 5-alarm fire. It is. at the White House. Where the hell is Joe Biden? Please, somebody tell me, where is he? We are a country without a president. We can talk about J.D. Vance and Kamala Harris all day long, and we should. But where is Joe Biden, and what is his condition at this hour? Why has he not appeared in front of a camera in days? And the last time we saw him, he was slow crawling down the steps of Air Force One, the small steps, moving in slow motion, which is remarkable because I thought he'd been moving in slow motion for the last 4 years, but extra slow motion.
Yeah.
Reporting now, I spoke to Laura Loomer on my program here, the Steve Gruber Show, just a short time ago here on Real America's Voice. She's reporting back on July 5th, as she did at that time, that he had a medical emergency that day. Charlie Kirk on this network saying the same thing, medical emergency on July 5. Haven't seen him much in public since. And from that day forward is when Nancy Pelosi went to work to make sure he wasn't there. So with all of that background, you have to say, I think Gruber was right, Terrence. Well, listen, pay attention. Yeah.
We're switching up.
Remember when I was on the program and I held up the sign that had a 48 on it because I said Donald Trump was going to be the 48th president of the United States? I think I was right about that, my friend. You know, G money, not T money. All right? Just so we're cool on that, right? G money.
We got to pull that clip.
So
you think he resigns? Well, you think he resigns?
David, I'm not convinced he survives.
Yeah.
Look, he's in declining health. And look, here's what was said yesterday morning by Frank Biden, one of the president's younger brothers. He said, we're just thankful for whatever time we have left. He said this on CBS News. Those are the things said by a family member of somebody who is terminally ill. This is very serious, which brings us back to the greatest scandal in American political history. That means everybody around him, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of the Treasury, the Secretary of Defense, the Vice President, yes, Kamala Harris, and all the rest have lied to us, right along with their compliant news media. They've lied to us.
Well, let me
follow
up.
We don't know the condition of the President of the United States. Go ahead.
The phone call yesterday, many people saying that it could have been AI. Obviously, we have very advanced technology nowadays.
It sounded recorded to me. I don't know if it was AI, but it sounded recorded. And at one point, if you go back to that tape, Kamala Harris goes, let's go back to the, I mean, she says, it comes halfway out of her mouth, recording does.
So then they're continuing to lie.
She changes. Who knows? That's the point. We don't know, Michelle. It's a complete disservice to America.
That's why I like Steve Gruber. And real quick, since that show, which I think was yesterday, maybe within the last 36 hours, this video appeared of Joe Biden. Now, Randy Taylor, he looks a little bit paunchier after having COVID for what, how long, supposedly?
Well, he probably stopped and saw Hunter on the way there.
Now, check this out, though.
Did a couple lines.
Yeah, there you go.
He didn't fall on his face. That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for him to walk all cool in front of the cameras and then face dive on the steps. That's what I seriously thought was going to happen.
And you know what's missing from that video? He takes a big boy stairs, but what's missing from that video, every single time he's gone up and down short stairs, big stairs, there's been a Secret Service agent on his backside to make sure that if he does tumble, they would catch him. No agent visible.
Think of how bad that assignment is when your job is to look at Joe Biden's ass.
or be downwind of that.
I have a question, Doug. And maybe it's just me. Is J.D. Vance the right VP, man? Can I say why he bothers me? And this would be, we could do a whole new show on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the company that he keeps that bothers me.
Well, he's from Yale, you know. I mean,
well, it's not just that. It says he's hanging out with globalists.
Yes.
And I don't want a case of, and this is what scares me, a case of, you know, Trump and him get into office. The globalists may even do this. It'd be easier on them. Just make sure Trump gets elected now and then kill him once he's in office. Then J.D. Vance is in charge. And then all the globalist friends of his, you know, the CEO of BlackRock.
Yep.
Is friends with these people, okay, with J.D. Vance. And another name I want you guys to look up, Peter Thiel.
Oh, yeah.
T-H-I-E-L-E. Look it up and just read a little bit about the guy. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say another word about Peter Thiel. It's the company he keeps that bothers me. outside of that, you know, I'm only worried because Trump's been screwed before. You know, and I told you what he needs is he needs a couple guys in the background like you and me that don't trust anybody working for him. That we check everybody out. We watch them. We know everything. We know what they had for breakfast. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of security team that Trump needs, even above and beyond his Secret Service detail.
I agree.
In my opinion.
No,
and I will offer ours.
Trump sucks at picking people.
I know. And you are absolutely right, Eric. And that's why, I kid you not, Doug and I are very loyal people. You find guys like us, you can tell us you're going to send us to jail, whatever. We don't turn on people. We do not turn on our friends or people that we're loyal to. We don't do it. And that's why guys like us, we're not there for the thrill. And it isn't like we want any notoriety from something like that. I would just love to have the contract to work in the background and make sure everything's up to snuff all the time, 24 hours a day, 365 a year for President Trump so he can get some work done.
There you go.
And not be dicking around with stuff that other people should be taking care of, because guaranteed people are already lying to him. You know, and we need to. Doug and I are pretty good judges of character. And we just, I would just, anyway, I'm going to draft up a letter and
our dogs love us.
Offer our services.
Hey,
it'll get denied, I'm sure, but if I would love to be part of the rebirth of America.
Well, I think it's important that President Trump, you know, it's interesting, too, when you look at his campaign, and maybe this is kind of a foreshadowing of what you said. Okay, you've got people, Trump has people around him. The United States Secret Service, subsequent to the hearings, came out and told or requested, I don't know what you would say, to the Trump's campaign, but they said, look, we prefer or, you know, heavily state, or maybe they said, we can't protect you in any outdoor venue. So we hereby request all of your rallies and such are conducted in indoor venues. And they accepted that. Now, to me, isn't that a little bit of interfering with the election?
Yes. Yes, it is. It limits who can attend.
Yeah.
For a man that sells out everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I mean, if you want, he could be killed inside as easily as he'd be killed outside.
Especially with the
people. Oh, God, in an arena, you don't really have to deal with the wind.
No.
As a sniper. I mean, you're talking about choice conditions. I mean, I would be suspect of them insisting on that. See, something stinks. Yeah. And here's the thing. Let's say that an organization was hired to kill Trump, and let's say there were two shooters, this guy and then another shooter we don't know about. If that was the case, they didn't kill their target. Now, typically, when you take a high contract like that, okay, and I used to know a lot of people, when you take a high contract like that, it's half up front, half on delivery. So if they got paid up front to kill Trump, they failed. And typically money doesn't get returned. They're going to have to go at him again.
Understand what Randy Taylor just said.
And I'm speaking from experience, not as I ever was contracted to kill anybody. I know people that used to be in that kind of business when I worked for a particular organization. That's all I'm going to say. But they were in that kind of business, okay? They were mobsters. I'll just say like it was. They were mobsters, okay? And I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say where they were. But I know how that kind of deal works. You typically don't return the money. You better get off your ass and get it done, or you're going to be the next one in the box.
And sometimes, regardless, they are.
You are, yeah. Because in this case, they don't want witnesses, including the shooter. I mean, that's why they shot that guy in the mouth. I want you to think about that.
That was a miraculous shot.
That's an excellent shot. That's an experienced sniper. They always taught us in a hostage situation, shoot him in the mouth because it severs the skull from the spine. And they can't, even if they've got a gun on somebody, it's total relaxed. They can't even squeeze off a shot. It's total done. And that's why they're trying to get you to a window and get you to talk. You ever wonder about that? Yeah, talk to us. Please talk to us. I'm serious. They want to get you in the window, so you're running your gator. Bam, right down the throat, baby.
Take out the brainstem, and that's it.
You got it. But I'm
so today we're going to talk about business out how there, right? to use.
You know, they may have decided the globalists at any time could say, you know what, just let them get in office. We'll kill them later. We got Vance in there. We can still, you know, push our agenda ahead. And that's what we got to worry about. That's our next worry, ladies and gentlemen. Besides getting President Trump into the White House to begin with, because. The Democrats are getting desperate.
Yes.
And they look stupid. They've been pushing Joe Biden and, you know, sharp as a tack. And, you know, Biden's there prepping for the debate and Trump's off golf. And, you know, of course, he's going to, like, there's a little snot on Twitter. It's a little Harry Cezanne or something.
Yes. He's a paid shill, in my view, for.
I think so, too. Him and that. That clown Brooklyn Dad Defiant, that pig's work. You know, and he has children. That's what scares me, that Brooklyn Dad Defiant. He's reproduced. I hate to think what his children are turning out to be, because he's garbage. He really is.
In our opinions, yes, on both. Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you on this. Now, so remember where we started this whole program and this episode and conversation. Okay. Number one, the information we have, we played with Dan Bongino. He's got the federal sources. We've got one source from that area involved on that day. U.S. Secret Service did not assign anyone to that roof. I will add this because the way the communication went, if there was any such assignment, it was later revoked or not enforced, or the team was otherwise redirected. That's number one. Number two, the rifle was prepositioned outside of the perimeter at the building, which, by the way, should have been inside the perimeter, but that's another story. And thirdly, that explosion, although Ray testified that the transmitters were in the off position, this makes me think, because of the information that we have from the source on the ground, that explosion was supposed to bring down, block, or otherwise screw up the vehicles. Okay. By bringing down the piece of equipment. So that tells me that if those detonators were in the remote transmitters were in the off position, there, in my view, based on that information today, there probably was a second individual involved in this. So that's where we started, and now we're here. One last video, and then you've got the rest. This is Carolyn Wren, because one of the things that's involved in selecting. The DNC selecting, or the convention goers, remember 68, Humphrey and Nixon, or Humphrey, that is, I'm sorry, on the DNC. Remember 68, but one of the issues is the money. This real quick, it's 2 minutes long, 2 minutes and 3 seconds to be exact, Carolyn Wren talking about the money raised for Kamala. You've heard this. This narrative is going to be destroyed about the money raised for Kamala Harris, because it, in the end, it's all about the money. This is video 3, show notes, HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
In the last 36 hours, they've said that Kamala has raised $100 million via Act Blue. ActBlue is the largest money laundering operation in the country. There was a great, it truly is. There's money coming through Ukraine, foreign donations. They don't even report anything under $100. You don't have to report. And it's just a joke to me that $100 million would come in online for a Kamala Harris. But that is what they announced, and that is certainly what would be deposited into their bank account. Now, you know, we had a bit of a head start with, and at the beginning of July, the Trump campaign closed the money gap, and the campaign announced they had $285 million cash on hand. The RNC had $100 million, so that was about $385 million cash on hand between the two. The Biden campaign had $240 million cash on hand. The DNC had $78 million, so they had about $318 million. So we were outpacing them by, I don't know, about $70 million. Well, they just added $100 million and counting into that, right? You're also seeing all these Hollywood types announce fundraisers. So there's certainly the money is going to tip back in the favor of the Democrats. Now, I personally believe that money is diminishing in power. I do think we have by far the strongest candidate in Donald Trump, the strongest messaging, but we cannot get complacent. We had that in 2020. Look what just happened in France. Look what happened in the 2023 special elections. Look what happened in the 2022 mythical red wave. Look what happened in 2020. Right. Everyone should be alarmed and working harder than they ever have in their lives. Steve warned us about this before he went into jail. He said, do not get complacent. This is about to be the most insane 3 months. The race will not look anything today like it does today when I'm going in 3 months from now. Gosh, was he right. It is a totally different world. And now we have to double down as the War Room posse, work harder than we possibly ever have in our lives, because they are literally pulling out all of the stops, from trying to assassinate Trump to convicting him in a sham trial to removing Biden. I mean, this is how ruthless these people are. They will stop at nothing to keep Donald Trump out of the White House, and we need to stop at nothing to get him in.
And what she said at the beginning, Randy Taylor, about the money being from foreign interests, including but not limited to Ukraine. Okay, this is what is fueling the left, and that's the money. And a lot of this, by the way, was sandbagged. A lot of the money was sandbagged until Biden said, I'm not going to run in 24 by way of social media, which is just mind-blowing. But anyway, go ahead.
All the money flowing back and forth in this whole Ukraine, everybody has been getting a cut of that.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't, if people honestly think that that money is actually going into Ukraine, it's crap. It's this stuff is laundered. A lot of it never left the country. It went straight into bank accounts offshore for congressmen and senators and probably the president. These people are filthy, these Democrats. Don't get me wrong. Republicans do things wrong, too. But these people are the devil's work. If you look at them, they are doing nothing, nothing to help this country. They are trying to destroy this country. They are trying to dilute the American dream by bringing in garbage. I saw a video of an immigrant that's in France, back from Africa, and he decides he's hungry, and he goes over to this person's house and skins their cat in the driveway for something to eat. Is that what you want moving in the country? Have we not told you people that you can't blend these cultures together? You did that in my house, we would have fed the cannibals that night because he would have taken a round through his head. I don't understand the mentalities here. I really don't. And the next 30 days are going to be crazy. And the reason I was talking about the DNC, and if they do decide to swap candidates and pull Harris out, if not the vice president completely, all they really would have to do is say, well, she wasn't qualified, and start pulling out her birth parents and all that stuff. The Democrats could do that and bounce her. But I am terrified on what they would bring in. My wife actually came up with that one.
It would be a lot. I believe it would be a lot worse. And I think we're going to see a lot worse in the days ahead, which is why I want everyone to prepare.
We have work to do, and you need to get out there and vote.
Yeah.
I mean, vote. Do not take anything for granted. Absolutely. We are in the most, we are en route to the most important election in your lifetime. I don't care how old you are. This election will determine if there's ever an election in the United States again. So you need to get off your asses. Everyone is. And I know our listeners are good people. They're going to vote. But I need you to tell your patriotic friends down at the bar, at the Veterans Club, at church, vote.
Bring 10 with you, or 5, or 2, or whatever.
Hagman K-Cups.
Hey, let's
get them ordered. I know these things are great. This is outstanding coffee, ladies and gentlemen. Please stop by and order some. It's not available in Canada yet, but soon.
Hey, hopefully.
I hope so.
If we, yeah. NAFTA, you know that. No, I'm kidding. Randy Taylor, thank you so much. Appreciate you riding shotgun, being part of the program.
I love it, man.
True asset, man. God bless you, my friend.
We love you guys.